All right, thank you. Like I said, my name is Bill Kreiser, and I'm presenting research today on a couple chapters of my thesis that I finished up with Dr. Doug Soldat at the University of Wisconsin-Madison over the last several years. Determining annual nitrogen requirements of turf grass systems are very complicated, mainly because we don't fertilize turf grass to maximize yield. Instead, factors like visual quality generally determine the annual requirements of a turf grass system. Additionally, since mowing is a substantial source of nutrient loss during a year, anything that we could do to reduce mowing requirements therefore may also reduce nutrient loss and suppress nutrient requirements. So a product that both increases turf grass quality and reduces mowing requirements, such as Trinexpac ethyl, may have applications to therefore reduce the fertility requirements of a creeping bentgrass putting green. And that's substantiated through 20 years of research with this particular product. It's been shown to reduce the clipping yields of creeping bentgrass putting greens by a range of 10 to 40%, and also reduce the clipping nitrogen content. That's been also a pretty common occurrence. Additionally, it has no detriment on nutrient nitrogen uptake. So therefore, it's getting into the plant, and therefore it's being partitioned from the clippings to other sources within the plant tissue. It's also been very well established that Trinexpac ethyl increases quality and density and color with the repeat applications. So that led to our objective. Is we know that Trinexpac ethyl increases quality and reduces clipping yield. Does it actually change the fertility requirements of creeping bentgrass golf putting greens? So to do this and achieve this objective, we established and created a putting green, and we maintained it as a typical golf course putting green would be maintained in Wisconsin at a typical mowing height, and occurred in 2008, 2009, and 2010. It was a 3x2 completely randomized block design with four replicates, with three fertilizer application rates, with and without the application of Trinexpac ethyl. Nitrogen rates were 5, 10, and 20 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, applied every 2 weeks as urea, and then we watered in the urea right after application with approximately half a centimeter of irrigation to minimize volatilization. In 2008, Trinexpac ethyl was applied roughly according to the label application recommendations of 0.5 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare, and we reapplied every 3 weeks, even though the label application interval was 4 weeks. For the data analysis, tissue analysis, we did yield biweekly, and we collected the clippings with a Toro 1000 greens mower. We dried the clippings, and then we clean the clippings with this this technique I'm showing in the video here with my brother. That's a pretty simple device to get the sand to fall down the pan faster with that vibrating razor. Simple to create, but it's actually very effective. So if you do a lot of clipping cleaning, this is a device that might be beneficial to you.
Have your brother do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. We also collected quality and color ratings with the clipping collection. And then we sent in monthly samples to the soil and plant analysis lab to determine tissue nitrogen contents. Repeated measures analysis was used for data analysis. So in 2008, I wanted to show the response of clipping yield to a nitrogen application rate. And the first thing I would like to point out is every application rate is a doubling of a fertilizer rate. And I want to just show that doubling application rate does not double clipping yield. It increases clipping yield by a range of 5 to 30%. And so that's something we needed to convey better to the turf industry, is saying, you know, your greens may benefit from more nitrogen fertilization. You're not going to see a substantial increase in clipping yield, and therefore a detriment to ball roll distance. So then we looked at how Trinexpac ethyl affected clipping yield. We found that only on one day, using the label application protocol, were we able to see a suppression in clipping yield. On all subsequent days in 2008, the clipping yields were exactly the same as the non-treated plots. And again, that happened with the quality data. There was not, although there was a slight increase in quality in 2008, It was never statistically significant at any time in that study. And so the ANOVA table really illustrates that well. There was no effect of Schreck-Speck ethyl as a source for yield, quality, or color. And that was a real problem when you're designing an experiment that looks at how Schreck-Speck ethyl affects fertility requirements of putting green. So in 2009, 2010, we had to amend the Schreck-Speck ethyl application regime. And so what we did was we upped the reapplication frequency to 200 growing degree days, and we doubled the application rate. And this came from research that I presented last year in Pittsburgh at ASA, where we took the ideas and the findings of Drs. Beasley and Branham that show that Schreck-Speck ethyl is metabolized based on air temperatures. Temperatures increased, metabolism increased. And so back when I was a sophomore, I had the idea of applying a growing degree day model to try to predict when we should be reapplying Schreck-Speck ethyl. And as a result, over the last 3 years at OJ North facility, on five different bentgrass putting greens, we've maintained consistent yield suppression season long. And we haven't experienced any of the rebound phase that occurs after the 200 growing degree day threshold had been surpassed from the calibration we did in that study. Additionally, in that study I presented last year, we found that increasing application rate in conjunction with increasing application frequency had the highest quality and color. So therefore, we thought if we increase application rate and frequency, we should see an increase in quality and color, a decrease in clipping removal, therefore decrease in nutrient removal. In 2009, 2010, we should hopefully see some promising results. And we did. Schreck-Speck ethyl in those 2 years did reduce yield, thankfully. However, it was interesting. It did not reduce the clipping nitrogen level, which is the center column there. So the tissue nitrogen actually, in most cases, slightly increased by a very small amount, and the p-value was about 0.09. Therefore, as a result, the reduction in nitrogen removal from clippings was basically determined solely on nitrogen removal, or determined basically on yield. If you reduce the yield, there's less nitrogen being removed from the turf grass system. So the data from 2009, 2010, when it was pooled together, again, we found that Schreck-Speck, our doubling application rate, first of all, did not double the clipping yield. It increased clipping yield relatively low, 20-30%. An additional finding, looking at the red and the blue bars were treated with Schreck-Speck ethyl. They had seen what I've been noticing typically in my research is approximately a 10-20% reduction in clipping yield. That seems pretty consistent on bentgrass putting greens at a lower height of cut. So it's interesting to note, however, though, that because you're seeing a 20% increase in clipping yield with doubling the fertilizer rate, and you see a 20% decrease in clipping yield with adding Schreck-Speck ethyl, they can kind of counteract each other. For example, the highest nitrogen rate with Schreck-Speck ethyl has the exact same yield as the medium nitrogen rate without Schreck-Speck ethyl. So it's real nice how those two complemented each other. And then as a result, nutrient removal also responded in a very similar fashion. So adding Schreck-Speck ethyl reduced nutrient level removal similarly as reducing nitrogen fertilization by 50%. So that's very promising for us to see that. But now the real question comes down to, you know, how does that affect turf quality? Again, we don't fertilize for yield. And we found that nitrogen rate and Schreck-Speck ethyl both played a big role in turf grass quality. And there is a Schreck-Speck ethyl date interaction that's pretty important, and I would like to point that out here. So here's that interaction. It's happened in both years, and it's happened on the majority of my studies I did for my master's degree. When you start to apply Schreck-Speck ethyl, you do not see an increase in quality or substantial significant increase in quality right away. It takes several weeks to develop. Then when it develops, it generally starts to diverge between the non-treated and the treated plots. And in the fall, it's very obvious which plots are treated and which plots aren't treated. So that's interesting to note. So if we're going to adjust fertility rates based on Schreck-Speck ethyl, maybe it's not good to do that in the spring. And here's an example of the different fertilizer rates with and without Schreck-Speck ethyl. and it might be obvious to you, it's pretty obvious to me, the plots look very, very similar. Even though the plot on the on your left is receiving double the amount of fertilizer, it has the same quality as the plot receiving half the fertilizer because the Trinexafac ethyl is compensating for that decrease in quality that would have occurred. And so we look at these nitrogen response curves. Again, we'll notice that the high nitrogen rate without Trinexafac ethyl had the exact same quality as the low nitrogen rate or the median nitrogen rate with Trinexafac ethyl. So there was that slight increase in turf grass color, which corresponded similarly to a 50% increase in fertilizer rate. So practical standpoint, for a golf course superintendent, if the golf course desired a quality of 7.5 and they're not applying Trinexafac ethyl, they, in this putting green situation, would have to apply 15 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare every 2 weeks to achieve that level. However, if they add Trinexafac ethyl, they can reduce that quantity by approximately 30% and have the exact same turf grass quality. Effect on clipping yield is very similar to what we saw with the quality data. Again, the Trinexafac ethyl reduced clipping yield similarly to reducing nitrogen fertilization by 50%. So in that example I just said before, where a superintendent is fertilizing with 1,500 kilograms or 15 kilograms per hectare to achieve the desired quality, they'd be having a clipping yield of approximately 5 grams per meter squared. Therefore, if they reduce their rate by 30% and add Trinexafac ethyl, they can substantially reduce the clipping yield. And if you were trying to achieve this clipping yield without adding Trinexafac ethyl, you would need to reduce your fertilizer rate by 50%. So there's a real big possibility here that adding Trinexafac ethyl in conjunction with reducing clipping fertilizer rate can increase ball roll distances. So some of our conclusions, again, the label stated application rate or frequency is just not effective at maintaining yield suppression or in our case, even achieving a statistical increase in color turf grass. However, when we applied the model that I presented at ASA last year, there was an increase in color and quality and a decrease in clipping yield, and that was maintained throughout the entire course of the study. Trinexafac ethyl, therefore, by reducing yield, reduced the amount of nitrogen removal. And therefore, if uptake wasn't inhibited, nitrogen could now be partitioned to other points of the plant and conserved. It took several weeks for the quality enhancements to develop, so that needs to be factored into adjusting fertility requirements. And increasing the color and quality is similar to increasing nitrogen rate by 20 to 40%. Therefore, reducing fertilizer requirements by 20 to 40% with Trinexafac ethyl applied as my growing degree day model would suggest does not have any detriment to turf grass quality and would reduce yield similarly to reducing the nitrogen rate by 50%. So that's pretty substantial, it may be pretty useful for golf course superintendents. Unfortunately, in the title of my talk, I also have phosphorus labeled, and I ran short on time, so I had to kind of nix the phosphorus talk. But the bottom line was, we developed a big range in phosphorus levels on a golf course putting green and treated them with or without Trinexafac ethyl. And Trinexafac ethyl did not affect the critical soil test phosphorus level, even with these really, really low phosphorus levels. So that's unfortunate, but this paper is just going to turn into be a very good soil test Mallet 3 calibration study. So we're going to get some really good data from it. Just turns out that the Trinexafac ethyl didn't really do much. So if anyone else has any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them if I have time. The question was, where does the nitrogen go if uptake stays the same and clipping yield is reduced? We did do soil samples, and so I do have a hypothesis that some of the nitrogen is staying in the soil. There might be some reduction in uptake. And so when we analyze that data that's went there, I'm really interested to see how that turns out. As in terms of the plant, previous research is showing that it's being partitioned into the crowns and the roots, especially the roots. And so it's likely that that N is going down into the roots. But without actually having done that, I can't really know for sure where it went.
At the end of your test, did you take clippings again to see the release effect when the plant the effect is gone, it goes like about out of heck. So you could compare that for longer treatments, and that would give you an idea as well.
Yeah, we didn't have to take the clippings after the, during the rebound phase at all, so I can't really say exactly. All right, thank you.